This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. We are looking at what's happening with the semiconductor sector because we know that over in the U.S., they will soon vote to push for a $52 billion U.S. dollar bill to subsidize its domestic semiconductor manufacturers in a bid to enhance its competitive against China in the wake of the global chip shortage. Much of these subsidies will go to chip manufacturers to incentivize construction of domestic factories in the U.S. to produce the components, which are the brains that power all modern electronics.
Last year, Malaysia recorded approved investments of 148 billion ringgit, which was 9.5 times the approved investments in 2020 of 15.6 billion ringgit. According to MIDA, Malaysia is a global hub in the semiconductor global supply chain, with approximately 7% of the total global semiconductor trade flowing through the nation. But will we see this US chip deal impacting our semiconductor industry negatively?
So for some clarification and an outlook for the sector, we have on the line with us Datuk Sri Wong Siew Hai, President of the Malaysia Semiconductor Industry Association. Good morning, Datuk. Thanks very much for speaking with us. So if we look over to the US, among other policies, they've also advocated a policy of friendshoring, where a group of countries with shared values will deploy policies encouraging companies to spread manufacturing within that group. Do you see Malaysia as being a natural beneficiary of this policy, and have we seen any tangible investments coming into Malaysia so far in 2022 as a result of it?
Good morning, and thank you very much for inviting me to BFM. As you know, what US is trying to do is to strengthen the supply chain and make it more resilient, and getting more countries to participate in the supply chain and getting more capacity up. So if that's the case, then Malaysia would benefit from it. And we can see with the recent announcements and the expansions in Malaysia with the like Intel 7.1 billion, AMD 2 billion ringgit, Intel was 7.1 billion US ringgit, AMD 2 billion ringgit, and many others from Infineon, AT&S. So there are so much investments already coming in, and I would expect more announcements to come up later.
Yeah, so, you know, because of the fact that we are friends with the United States, that's why perhaps we're seeing all these investments come through. But are there actually any frenemies in the region, right? Who are our fiercest competitors to date?
You know, our competitor so far has been Vietnam. And now with the CHIP Act, which is in the US, they are attracting more companies to set up onshore in their own country. I think Europe is also doing the same. So, however, we are more in the back end assembly and test. And so we are not really affected by that. But we would encourage the government to go up the value chain and attract fabs into the country so that we can strengthen our supply chain. So if you are going to do that, then you're going to compete with the likes of US, China, Europe, and so on.
Okay, which begs the question, right? How then do we attract these higher end semiconductor companies to come into the country? Because you brought up a very valid point. What we are doing now is rather on the back end of the chain.
Yes, this is going to be very challenging. I think Malaysia must be, first of all, thinking very seriously about attracting fab. As you know, we can't build our own fab. It's going to be very expensive. You know, it ranges from anything from 5 to 10 billion US dollars. So I would say that Malaysia has to think of ways of attracting this fab with incentives like what the US CHIP Act is doing. So if you want to play in this game, we have to compete with the right incentives.
But you know, ringgit now at 4.5 to the US dollar, that should be quite attractive, right, to attract investments?
Yes and no. You know, as the ringgit weaken, basically all the businesses are dealt in US dollars, you know. When you buy materials from overseas, it's in US dollars. When you sell, it's in US dollars. So the difference actually is only in the labor part or the local materials that you are buying. So the benefit here then is that if you are selling in US dollars and then you bring in back these dollars and convert to ringgit, of course, you benefit. But remember, you're also buying from overseas. So net-net, I guess, this weakening of ringgit will make Malaysia more competitive, but at the same time, you know, it is going to be difficult as you import materials.
Okay, Dato Sri, you mentioned earlier on about incentives to drive fab factories here. What would you like to see that for that to happen? Would it be something like tax subsidies, reinvestment allowances? What specifically can we offer to attract more such companies to come to this region? And who else are we competing with in this space? Is Vietnam offering this already?
I don't think Vietnam is offering that. I think India is trying to do that. I think they are putting up $2 billion to attract fabs. Yeah, US is talking about $52 billion to attract their fabs. That's why Samsung, TSMC, and of course Intel is trying to set up their fabs in US. So you're talking about big amount of money. And in the past, you have Ireland, you have Israel, all attracting fabs to their country by offering such incentives like what Chip Act is doing. So the question to Malaysia is: Malaysia prepared to, do this? Similar things, not exactly the same thing, because we have been doing giving pioneer status, which is tax-free for 10 years or 20 years, but this is much more than that.
And I think another element of attracting FDI is really talent, and we know that talent is kind of scarce on that front in Malaysia. Could you maybe give us some color in terms of how severe are the engineer and talent shortages in the industry right now? Where exactly is it most stark?
Yeah, in terms of talent, there are a few areas. One is at the engineering level, the non-engineering level, the technician level, and the factory workers level. So at every level, we are being challenged. And Malaysia is not the only country. If you look into other countries, all are facing the same problem, whether it's US, Vietnam, Thailand, and everywhere else are having the same problem. So what Malaysia is happening to Malaysia is that we have more challenges in the sense that our talents, maybe 15-20% of them leave the country for greener pastures, as they call it. But then at the same time, we have engineers who did not meet the industry expectation. So what we are left is quite a few engineers. Okay. And just now, I just mentioned that so many companies are announcing expansion and new companies investing in Malaysia all need engineers. So definitely we don't have enough. Okay. And so we are advocating to the government that allow the companies to hire foreign graduates studying in Malaysia who have graduated in Malaysia so that we don't ask them to leave the country after they graduate, but we can hire them. So that is one way of alleviating the problem. And the other way is we want to get all those so-called not industry-ready engineers to be reskilled, retrained, and put them back into engineering. So that's the short-term solution. On the longer-term solution, then we need more students and children studying science and engineering.
So, we had a conversation about incentives. We had a conversation about talent, request list to the government, right? We are on the midst of having a discussion about budget 2023 soon. What else is on your wish list in view of a very tight operating fiscal environment?
So, we first of all, I think we want to address the issue of getting more students and children to pursue science and engineering. So one of the ways is to encourage more engineers to go into design and development. And what we are trying to encourage the government to do is, can you give such engineers who are doing design and development half the tax rate to encourage them to go into that area instead of joining another segment of the industry? Also that we would like the government to support the science discovery centers in the country to run programs to inspire children to study science and engineering, to inspire them very early in their primary school and the kindergarten to have interest in science so that when they reach Form 2 or Form 4, they can pursue science and engineering. So these are some of the things that we are thinking of where government gives some incentives to the engineers who are doing science design development, also to the parents who are supporting their children in science and development through some tax deduction or something like that, a rebate, something to incentivize the parents to encourage the children to pursue science and engineering. So that's what we are asking for right now, just to tackle this problem.
Dr. Sri, I'm curious though, are the semiconductor companies themselves doing their bit by maybe offering vocational training?
Yes, we have Academy in the Factory program, whereby we encourage Form 5 leavers to join the factories by pursuing an 18-month training program. We call it the Academy in the Factory. And after 18 months of hands-on classroom training, they get a technician certificate. So that way, they don't have to invest money to study, but they can get that while working in the factory, getting skills, and they are industry ready at the end of it. So we hope more Form 5 leavers can join the E&E industry and take up this Academy in Factory program.
Dato, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Dato Sri Wong Siew Hai, President of the Malaysia Semiconductor Industry Association, giving us his outlook for the sector and talking about some of the incentives that are really needed in order to get the Malaysian semiconductor sector to grow.
So in Malaysia, we want to move upstream because we are doing the back end. But the challenge you see now is that not only are emerging markets trying to lure in, these fabricators to come in. But even those home markets with large home markets like India and United States, they're trying to get incentives in place, right? To basically get them to have domestic manufacturing. So I think it'll be a uphill task for Malaysia to basically move up the value chain, isn't it?
For sure. I mean, every country wants to have better productivity, higher paying jobs for their citizens, right? They also want some form of security when it comes to availability of chips, which we saw during the crisis, COVID-19, supply chain disruptions. And honestly, whoever has the chips, that's the new weapon of the world because it's in everything. It's in our phones, it's in our computers, it's in our cars. It's an almost essential item.
It's essential. So you have to be closer to the market, closer to where you are. And Malaysia's market is just too small. So essentially, you just have to play with the system, right, and be part of the ecosystem. And even, we talked about it being 7% of the total piece. Perhaps that's what we should just take.
I'm not sure. I would rather that we at least try to move up the value chain a little bit, make some endeavors towards that. Because at the lower end of the chain is where the margins are the thinnest, right?
Sure.
And also the transfer of knowledge isn't the best because it's, I would say, slightly older technology. But I recognize what you're saying, Philip. It is going to be challenging to move up the value chain and compete with the likes of America, for example, whose government is already giving, what, 50
billions,
over billions of
subsidies. $52 billion.
And we know that's the case also for China.
And now we say India.
All right, it's 8:59 in the morning. We are heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, we'll take a look at how the KLCI opens as well as international markets with Clifford Bennett of ACY Securities. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.